This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Crybaby Diddy. Diddy, no bail. Deal with it, Combs. Sean Combs breaking down and crying like a baby in court. And now he's been sent to wait in a hellhole. Wait for his fate. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
We are living in this dirty, ditty, dystopian dumpster world.
It was all about him. Puff is running this entire trial, but his ego is very, very big. He was the ringmaster, and we played along in his circus.
Sean Combs has been orchestrating a meteoric career for years, rising, rising, rising. Is it any surprise he orchestrated his trial that ended in 2 guilty convictions, but 3 acquittals? With me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know tonight. Sean Combs breaking down and crying like a baby in court as he is told no bail. Joining me now, formerly outside the courthouse, she had to be taken to a secure location after the verdict went down yesterday. It was no laughing matter, Tease. It's easy to laugh the next night, the night after. But you were mobbed outside the courthouse, attacked for not being a Diddy sympathizer, and threatened. Describe what happened outside the courthouse. Everybody, Tisa Tales joining us. You can find her online on YouTube at Tisa Tales. Go ahead, Tisa.
Nancy, I laugh because I remain here and I remain adamant that the jury got it wrong and Sean Diddy Combs and his supporters are dangerous and need to be held in check. Let me take you back to what happened outside of the courthouse. The verdict came in. I expected the celebrations from Sean's family. Ran downstairs to bring it to you guys live. That is when the mob descended. Grown men, hordes of grown men coming over, yelling, "We're going to treat you worse than Cassie. What happened to Cassie is nothing. Wait till we get our hands on you. You F and B, you need to die. You need this. We're going to reach into you." Literally, 2 armed guards were protecting me from a swarm of men, of Diddy supporters. This is what they wanted to do to celebrate when their degenerate king came up. But in that moment, my heart broke for the witnesses. My heart broke for myself because I realized they wanted to bring me to heel. They wanted me to pay all this anger and animosity. They felt that I stood there on the side of victims. It boiled over. And in that moment, with the gold star that jury decision gave them, they knew that they lived in a world that they could harm somebody, a woman, for speaking truth to power, and nothing would happen to them. Just like in their minds at that time, they thought nothing was happening to their king. I was overjoyed when I heard that Judge Aaron did the right thing and kept that monster in jail. And it sent a chilling effect to all the melee that was going on in the courthouse. Regardless of what the jury said, there is still law in America, and you will be held accountable. It was a horrible scene. And get this, I had 2 armed guards escorting me through the melee, and they were even like they've never seen anything like this. But there were so many other women. There were so many other vloggers and media that did not have armed guards protecting them that suffered the same fate. And my heart goes out to everyone. It was quite a scene at the courthouse, but
Tisa Tales, wasn't there a woman? Wasn't there a woman outside the courthouse in nothing but briefs squirting herself with baby oil dancing?
Nancy, I was literally sitting there saying, is this what Sodom and Gomorrah look like? It looked like Rome was burning. There was a woman in a pair of Calvin Klein underwears and a bra momentarily, because even the bra started coming out, and she was sitting there shimmying, bouncing, acting like she was at the strip bar, right? I've never been there, but I assume that's what goes on. Why, there was a man with a bottle of baby oil squirting it. And as the baby oil hit her chest, the crowd was like, yes, 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 more, 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 celebrating for their degenerate king. I've never seen anything like it, and I hope to God never to see anything like it again. At that moment, if God had asked me, do you think we need it? Yes, Lord, please flood it. Let me into the ark. Flood it all. This needs to be washed away. I have never seen such proud degeneracy. And what are you celebrating? That's all I kept saying. What are these people celebrating? This man was convicted on two still very serious criminal charges. But more than that, I see that Mark Agnifilio's gaslighting worked on the jury. But are we going to forget that we did not see Cassie fleeing a freak off and being dragged back? That we did not hear Cassie's mom say that she was extorted $20K because she thought her daughter's freak off case were going to be released? Did we not hear all this testimony about him literally, regardless of what Jane wanted, brutally beating her in the shower, beating her in the foyer, stomping her down, then forcing her to take drugs, put makeup on, and engage in a freak-off just to punish and humiliate her. The fact that the jury and Diddy's supporters wanted to act like all this horrible evidence we heard did not happen, and they were celebrating that this monster got out. It literally was like I was literally watching Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know what was going on. But there was some demonic energy going around.
Speaking of what was going down outside the courthouse, as Diddy, Sean Combs, breaks down and cries like a baby in court and is told no bail, take a look at what she's talking about. This from Armand Wiggins on Instagram.
When the verdict is announced, crowds outside the courthouse go wild. Supporters spray baby oil at each other. Observers with different opinions get in shouting matches. The Combs family is met with cheers as they enter and exit court. And media members and content creators rely on court security for protection as they make their reports. As both sides submit their arguments for and against pre-sentencing bail, a large group begins to chant, "Let Puffy go."
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
As both sides submit their arguments for and against pre-sentencing bail, a large group begins to chant, "Let Puffy go."
Let Puffy go. Well, the judge didn't agree. Sean Combs, no bail, and he's sent straight back to the Brooklyn MDC to await his fate. This is after he breaks down and cries in court. Joining me, special guest, Rob Shooter, longtime PR guru for Sean Combs. He knows Sean Combs better than any of us can even imagine. Host of Naughty But Nice podcast, found at robshooter.substack.com. You know what that scene reminds me of? That reminds me of something that happened, Shooter, after the O.J. Simpson verdict. Okay, the case was over, and I was still prosecuting in Atlanta, prosecuting felonies, and I flew to New York to see Geraldo Rivera, our friend Geraldo Rivera. And at that time, he had a daytime talk show, and he was having on many of the jurors. They had written a book, Making Money Off the Trial. Hey, it's America. Have at it. And it was called something like Madam Foreman of the Jury, something about that. And I believe the foreman was part of the group that was at Geraldo. Anyway, we did the show, and I had no axe to grind with them. I thought they were totally wrong and were swayed by Simpson's fame. But that said, the trial was over. There was nothing I could do to affect the case. It was done. And these were, you know, elderly ladies. And so I was very polite to them. We had a conversation. I walked out with them and walked them with them to the sidewalk. Listen to this, Shooter. They were all out there waiting, and a huge black stretch limo pulls up. I had never been in a stretch limo in my life. At that time, I don't know if I'd even seen one. Yeah, I had not. And I watched all of them. They were all getting in. I think there were three of them, as I recall. And the one of them turned back to me. I was standing there, and I remember this distinctly. I could not afford a heavy coat. I did not have on a heavy coat, and it was cold. And I was standing there, and they got in, and the last one to get in turned around. She had her hand on the open limo door, and she said, "You know what, Nancy? This is the best thing that ever happened to me. I've gone to all the best restaurants. I've stayed in all the best hotels. These amazing meals and room service. I even got these expensive clothes to wear on TV. It's been the best thing that ever happened to me." And she was so happy. And she got in the limo, shut the door, and I remember standing there. And I watched the limo pull off to take them to the airport. I was watching the taillights, and it started snowing. The best thing that happened to them, Nicole Brown's head was attached to her body with just the skin on the back of her neck. She was basically beheaded by Orenthal James Simpson. Ron Goldman found dead in a pool of blood, and it's the best thing that ever happened to that jury. I mean, that was my flashback as the verdict was being read in court.
I feel, Nancy, I totally feel for you. Last night, I went out to have dinner with friends, and somebody tried to spit on me outside the restaurant, who was a Diddy supporter. This is real. What we are seeing happening outside the courthouse, what happened to our friend Tisha, that she has been brave enough to talk about, it's real. People out there are scared, Nancy. I reported yesterday that Cassie has increased her security. Now she's got a 24-hour guard on her home. People are very, very frightened. Just because Puffy is still in jail, thankfully, he can't get to her, but his fans can. His army, his warriors can. And so it's dangerous out there. And I think it's easy to dismiss that. It's easy to think, oh, this is just excitement. This was just after the verdict. This will calm down. I'm not sure it will, Nancy. I've been doing this a long, long time, and I've certainly said things and wrote things that might have ruffled people the wrong way, but I've never had somebody try to spit on me before. Last night, that happened for the first time in New York City. Coming out of a restaurant, someone recognized me from television, from maybe my column, from working with Diddy. And they were really angry. And I could see, Nancy, I could see in their eyes, hate. They absolutely hated that I'm not worshiping the same God, the God of Diddy, that they are.
Rob Shooter, number one, I feel guilty about what's happened to you and to Tisha, because I feel like by speaking out on our program, you've been targeted. I have to tell you, when the twins left early this morning for their jobs, I was actually worried. I followed them on Life 360, you know, just to make sure they got there. And I thought, what, where am I living? Why is it like this? I want to hear exactly every detail of someone coming up to you and spitting at you at a restaurant last night. Every detail.
Yeah, walking out of a restaurant in Midtown, we'd had a great dinner. It was a fun night with friends, and we were saying our goodbyes outside. People in New York get subways or maybe an Uber or a taxi home. I was waiting for my Uber. It had been a long, long day. I was so looking forward to seeing my friends and not talking about this monster, not talking about Diddy, talking about everything else and having a drink, a martini. It was a really great cathartic night. It was that moment at the end of a long day that I think so many people can appreciate and look forward to. And when I was leaving the restaurant, we hadn't finished talking yet. We are good friends. And we were gossiping about Kate Middleton. We were gossiping about different stories coming out of London. And somebody tapped me on my shoulder. And I turned around and they said, "You're Rob Shooter, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yes." And then they spat. They missed me, but they did spit, Nancy. And then I looked up and I said, "What the hell?" And then I realized I had to back off very, very quickly, because the hate in this person's eyes, who does not know me, but let me make this clear too. They don't know Diddy. I worked with him. You didn't. I did. I know this man. He doesn't care about you. To think somebody would be that loyal, that emotional, that upset for somebody that they don't know, and the person they think they know is not that person. It's heartbreaking, Nancy. I didn't feel anger. I felt a little bit vulnerable. I felt a little bit scared. I think I was safe. I felt sad, Nancy. I felt so, so sad that Diddy has whipped people up into this frenzy.
Rob Shooter, was it a man or a woman?
A man.
That spit at you.
A man. There was three of them walking together. It looked as if they had finished work. It looked like they were heading home. It was just an unfortunate moment where I was in the wrong place at the wrong time on the wrong day.
Rob Shooter, it's because they don't want to see. They don't want to know the truth about Sean Combs. They want to believe what they've believed for years and years and years. What Cassie, Mia, Jane, so many others, and what the hey happened to Gina. Now, in retrospect, we know why she didn't come forward, but they don't want to see. Did I ever tell you, Shooter, that I had my investigator, Ernest? We could not have been more different. We were together over 10 years through thick and thin. Every day, every trial, we had one argument in 10 years. One. And it was over O.J. Simpson. Because he insisted Simpson was framed because of his race. And I insisted he was behind bars because he murdered two people. And that Ernest didn't want to face the facts that the Simpson he thinks he knows, the one that's running through the airport on the commercial or, you know, a star football player, that's not the real Orenthal James Simpson. And to this day, he's still mad at me. He's still mad about O.J. Simpson. We don't even talk about it. When we get together, we don't even talk about Simpson. Okay, we do a little. I say, you do know Simpson's guilty, right? Okay. He's dead, but he's guilty. They don't want to see these people, the people that spit at you last night, don't want to see the testimony that came out at court, Shooter. How is that? You're the PR guru. You know how to shape-shift everything. How is this happening?
I think, Nancy, for this is a tale as old as time. We have built people up. We know in America how to build celebrities, how to create celebrities. Celebrities aren't born. They are created, carefully created, and we turn them into these godlike figures. And often, mostly, these celebrities live out our fantasies for us, the Taylor Swifts and the Beyoncés, and we wonder what it'd be like to be that famous and that rich. But every so often, there's a celebrity that comes along, an O.J. Simpson, a Diddy. And when we realize that the image is not the truth, it can be devastating. This isn't about a celebrity being rude at Starbucks. This is a crime. This is dangerous. This is people's lives. What Puffy did is not just an A-list celebrity being a brat. It's being a criminal. And unfortunately, though, the mystique, the image, the world that we've created where we idolize these people, they weaponize it. Celebrities know how to use their power. And Puffy did that from the day one, from the first day he stepped into that courtroom. He knew what he was doing. He was putting on the Puffy show, and we fell for it. He's not used to being told no.
And he throws a major tantrum because he can't.
I've seen him get so angry that he looks like he's about to pass out. The veins in his neck are popping.
The kickings, the beatings, the draggings.
He just can't believe that somebody says no to him. He can't believe it.
With us, an all-star panel, but first back to Tisa Tells from YouTube. Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, Sean Combs breaking down and crying like a baby in court when he is told no bail, sent back to the MDC to await his fate. A hearing is scheduled in the next 3 business days for him to come back in court and make his case. Tell me what happened in court when Sean comes in court.
In court. court, we saw Judge Aaron. Now, nobody knows what's in his mind, but the way he came in like hell on wheels, it made me feel that maybe Judge Aaron thought that the jury got it a bit wrong. Mark Agnifilio rolled in with his comedy routine that had worked on those 12 jurors and tried to even say that the abuse that Jane suffered, being beaten savagely in a shower while Diddy was clothed, being forced to do a freak-off moments later. He tried to say that it looks like it might have been self-defense. Judge Aaron, shut it down. Your client is violent. We saw it on the video. He said everything that we've been thinking. And he said he's not getting out. Mark Agnifilio, well, yeah, I know we can arrange a package if you like. The motion is denied. And I will see you, I believe it's October 2nd, for sentencing, unless you have a better idea. Diddy, literally, that hubris that he had floated in, he really did do the impossible. And I remember last week when Rob was like, this man, I'm telling you, the stardust, people want it. I didn't want to believe it. But this man came floating in off of his stardust, fully expecting to go home. They had gotten security for Star Island because they expected him to walk out that night. Everybody was on. And when you saw the way his whole body slumped, the way he looked like tears were rolling down his face, all because Judge Aaron finally put a stop to this nonsense. And again, I want to thank Judge Aaron because it had a chilling effect. Everybody was worried about me last night, but you know what? I stood tall because I realized they wanted what they did to Rob. They want us afraid to come out. They want us to hide in the shadow like roaches, the way they should be hiding in the shadows. They want us to be bowed and ashamed and hide away so they can literally let their deranged king run rapid. Kudos for Rob for holding his ground, and kudos for Judge Aaron for finally popping that bubble and for Diddy to see reality. You might have got away with the worst of it, but the feds still caught you in their crossheads. And in that moment, we saw why he was slumped, head bowed, looking like tears were rolling down his face because he thought he knew to see reality finally come crashing in. That was the only justice we got in that day, but it was a lot of justice and it was well-deserved justice.
What did you just say about self-defense?
Yes. It makes me so mad to think about it. Mark Agnifilio had the nerve to suggest that what Diddy did that night with Jane when he forced drugs down her throat and made her perform a freak off with fresh bruises and swelling covered up with makeup. Mark Agnifilio said, there's evidence to suggest that that was some type of self-defense, that my client was provoked.
Okay, wait a minute. Lynn Shaw joining me from Lynn's Warrior. She's the founder and executive director dedicated to ending sex trafficking and abuse on girls and women. Okay, I've heard she asked for it. It was her idea. She started it. It was consensual. She's a slut. Or as Agnifilio said in court, she's a beautiful woman. She loves sex. On and on, the same old stereotypes we've always heard, but this is a new one. It was self-defense. Sean Combs was acting in self-defense when he beat Jane.
Blah, 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 blah. The same old playbook. Let's kick it to the curb. First of all, I want to say something. A great shout out to Tisa and to Rob. Stay safe. I put out a statement on the Warriors about this right away with the verdict. I've been attacked relentlessly all day and all night yesterday. And guess what? By women. Women. So what does this say about all of this? So now you have a lawyer who's saying self-defense. I've heard this one before, Nancy. Anything to blame the victim. My concern here, though, is society, is the justice system itself not understanding, accepting all of this. How come all of those Diddy disciples attacking Tisa and others, how come they aren't, you know, in this frenzy to support victims, survivors, those who testified? Why is it that there's this power over this criminal, convicted criminal, this monster
pimp, 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 trafficker, trafficker, trafficker. You know what? That playbook is old. These lawyers can say what they want. My concern here also is that women are attacking me for putting out what I am saying, that he got off because they didn't prove sex trafficking and I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you know what? Everybody should walk in my boots, come along with me with the warriors and do the work we do in the communities. And they'll understand real quickly. These jurors, I wish I could have taken all 12 of them on the road with me. They would have convicted him of sex trafficking right away because they have to see reality and they're blinded by, as Rob pointed out and Tisa, this stardust, this wealth, this power. But you know what? He's still, at the end of the day, a convicted criminal. He still is in jail. We still have counts against him, and he will go down. Maybe not right away in the next few years. He's going down.
Joining me, Troy Slayton, renowned defense attorney, joining us out of the L.A. jurisdiction. Troy Slayton, look. Okay. You got a lot of tricks in your magician's bag that you whip out in front of juries to get those not guilty verdicts that you seem to get, sadly, frequently. But Troy Slayton, in a case like this, have you ever seen the defense argue self-defense, that the alleged rapist, the alleged sex trafficker, was acting in self-defense? I didn't see any pictures of bruises on Sean Combs. All I saw was him running up and down the halls of the Intercontinental in nothing but a towel. And we now know why he had the towel that he was clutching so desperately, because he didn't want this to be seen on the camera. That said, have you ever seen self-defense used by an alleged rapist or an alleged sex trafficker?
It's the job of the defense attorney, Nancy, to be a zealous advocate for their client and to do everything that they can within the framework of the law to secure an acquittal or to get the best possible deal. Now, I'm not going to sit here and gloat just because I got it right all along that the government overcharged this case. There was not an overreaching criminal
conspiracy. Oh, yes, you would never gloat. That's just not Troy Slayton.
There was not RICO here.
He would never say, I told you so. Oh, quick update. Where is Diddy right now? Oh, he's in jail. Okay, continue.
But not for much longer. The sentencing guidelines for what is probably going to end up being the most expensive prostitution trial in U.S. history is 15 to 21 months. So although he has what we call maximum exposure of 10 years on each count, which if ran consecutively would be 20 years, he's not going to get that. The starting point for the judge here is 15 to 21 months, not years. And he's already got
starting
10 months
point
of credit.
In a nutshell, unlike state court, where I prosecuted in felony superior court, where the judge had great, great leeway and depended on the state to make a very convincing argument when it came to sentencing. In federal court, there's something called the federal guidelines, the sentencing guidelines. Why? Because federal judges, number one, they're appointed for life. They can do whatever they want to, just like the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay? Life, in case you didn't know. They're not reelected. They can't get thrown out.
They can get impeached.
Okay. You name five justices. Name one justice. One justice, U.S. Supreme Court justice, that's ever been impeached. Oh, hearing nothing, I'll continue forward. The sentencing guidelines were instituted because federal judges across the country had wildly divergent sentences for the same crime. And defendants were starting to say, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. He got 5 years and you're giving me life? How can that be? So the sentencing guidelines were put in place to kind of corral the federal judges into behaving and having a more consistent sentencing guideline. However, there are, in a nutshell, I'm not going to let Troy Slayton give you a legal treatise on this. There are upward and downward departures. And I know a lawyer, now disbarred, that made a living of getting snitches behind bars to make up stories to help get downward departures. Downward departures are when you present the judge evidence to the defendant's favor that gets the judge to give a lesser sentence. There are also upward
Nancy
departures.
It's called mitigating
short,
and aggravating factors. And that's what the attorneys for Diddy are going to do. They're going to say all the great things about him in order to try and get the judge to downward depart or deviate from the sentencing guidelines. It used to be in this country, Nancy, that the sentencing guidelines were mandatory. The judge was confined to, in this case, the 15 to 21 months. But that's no longer the case.
Or the judge
has wide discretion to sentence up to the maximum in this case, but it's not going to happen. Diddy is going to be out in a matter of months, not years.
You heard Tisa Tales give us the sentencing date, which is not until October. But Sean Combs is back in court within the next 3 business days to have a bail hearing. But as to what Slayton's saying, he's absolutely correct. The sentencing for Sean Combs could be anywhere from 15 months, which is the lower end of the federal sentencing guidelines, all the way up to 20 years. 20 years? Where did I get that? The max on each one of these counts is 10 years. If he gets the max on each count, which I believe he should get in light of the violence of this case, then you run those consecutively, one after the other. That's 20 years. Enjoy, Combs. Enjoy. Okay, back to Tisa Tales. Tisa, I also heard you say, in addition to Sean Combs' self-defense theory, Agnifilo threw out to the judge yesterday. I think I saw the judge doing this on the stand. But that said, you also said something about Star Island. What did you say?
Diddy's team was so confident that Diddy was coming home that night. They won the game, but they decided to do a victory layup. They were so confident he was coming home that they got security and staff on Star Island in order to embrace the homecoming of their dark overlord. The amount of hubris. And by the way, let's go back to that self-defense, okay? The judge looked at Diddy and his exact words were, "Your client enrolled in a batterer's program in New York City right before he got arrested." Again, how could this be self-defense where the first thing he did was run to New York City and enroll in a batterer's program so he could say, "Oh my God, I've changed my ways," and a batterer's program for the abuser? Maureen Comey stood up and said, "Your Honor, his brazenness is ridiculous. It is, he has no shame." It was quite a moment to see Diddy be pulled down to reality, but the hubris to think that he was coming home, because again, Nancy, I was disappointed with the verdict, but like you said, okay, there are 2 serious criminal charges. And judging by the way, the judge was reading Mark Agnifilo, the Riot Act, whatever is the maximum that he can go, I think it's going to be more higher than lower. This is not going to be time served. And yes, it is a small consolation prize, but hopefully Diddy will at least be away for at least 4 or 5 years. Anybody knows you're better at that than I am, Nancy. But again, it is a small act of mercy that he will be accountable for some of his crimes.
Okay, the Star Island thing. Repeat.
The Star Island incident. They were so confident this man was coming home. They had the party of all parties, a homecoming like you've never seen planned. They had full security go down there. Again, remember last time I tried to get him released on bail? "We're going to have private security. We're going to have this. We're going to have that." Okay, so you're going to be El Chapo and create your own prison on a luxury resort? Shut up, Diddy. They had full security on staff that would be in line with what the level that a probation officer would demand. They had celebrity friends to greet him. They had a whole shindig planned, and they really thought that man was walking out of there that night. And by the way, Nancy, I don't think enough people have talked about these low-life celebrities that came out in droves to congratulate him because he got off on RICO, leaving comments, "You can't go to jail for being freaky." Yeah, I know. You thought your whole lifestyle was in danger. But nobody is talking about the celebs that now that he's been found not guilty and the jury did this, they are now coming out and giving him his full support. That comeback tour that I thought was just a pipe dream, it looks like it might be coming to fruition. I don't even think he has to do the fake church route to get back in the good graces of his celebrity friends. But they are all coming out of the woodworks. Look at the post he put, liking everything. Congratulations, I knew you're coming home. Pay attention to who now is speaking up. And that's going to tell you who was probably worried about Diddy going down.
Who's speaking up?
Who's speaking up? So many musicians, so many actors, actresses. I can go to the Instagram right now. The post they put up, look at everybody that's in the comments liking it, giving words of confidence. Good to see you home, King. There are so many celebrities. And again, it makes me wonder, because you guys were so quiet and now you're speaking up, maybe you're happy that your way of life has been lived to survive another day. Because why were they so quiet before? Maybe these were some of the people that were worried about Diddy actually speaking.
You know, it's like roaches. When you turn the light on, they all run and hide when the light's being shined on them. But you cut the lights off and they can get away with anything in the dark when nobody knows what's going on, when nobody can see what they're doing. Speaking of refusing to see the evidence, going into the jury deliberations with blinders on about who they think Sean Combs is, how could they ignore his apology?
It's so difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you gotta do that. I was f***ed up. I mean, I hit rock bottom. But I make no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. I'm disgusted. I was disgusted then when I did it. I'm disgusted now. I went and I sought out professional help. I had to go into therapy, and go into rehab. Had to ask God for his mercy and grace. I'm so sorry. But I'm committed to be a better man each and every day. I'm not asking for forgiveness. Truly sorry.
In the next three business days, Sean Combs, aka Diddy, back in court begging for bond. His sentencing set for October. What will go down in that bond hearing? The judge has given us a couple of clues. Yesterday, when Sean Combs kept going, trying to get called on like the judge was a school teacher, while his lawyer, Ignifilo, was making an argument, the district court judge, Judge Aaron Subramian, ignored Sean Combs and said to the defense, quote, "You full-throatedly," that's harsh for a judge, "you full-throatedly in your closing argument told the jury that there was violence here and domestic violence is violence. You said this was a case that did have violence. As to the basic question of violence, you conceded that, admitted that in your closing." And then Ignifilo, in his wisdom, come back. I just think we should trust him. He won't flee. Okay. To Rob Shooter, joining us from Naughty But Nice podcast at robshooter.substack.com. You heard that the celebration was already planned at Star Island. Where is Star Island? What is it?
Yeah, Star Island is in Florida. It's by Miami. It's a luxury island that you need to get permission to get on and off. They have a security guard when you enter the one bridge that takes you to this island, and there's one bridge that takes you out. Multi-million dollar homes. These are not just rich people. These are super rich people. The average home on Star Island is about $40 million. I've been to a party on Star Island, not at Diddy's house, but on the island. Not that many homes on the island. I'd guess about 15, 20 total. All celebrity neighbors, all super, super, super rich. And now these elites, these very wealthy people who have spent a fortune on these homes, now they're going to have to, at some point, welcome Diddy back as a neighbor. They are not happy about this. This is not going to be good for the price of their homes. They want rid of him in a way that a lot of people standing out that courtroom screaming and shouting don't. And so his fans are supporting him. His neighbors want him gone.
They were already preparing the party at Star Island in Florida. Keep Shooter up. Isn't it true? Star Island is 90 nautical miles to Cuba. On a yacht, you can get to Cuba in less than 4 hours. So Diddy goes out on a moonlight cruise on a yacht. He gone, right? From Cuba, you can go anywhere in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Think about it, Shooter. Thinky, use that noodle, man.
Yeah, we should all be using our noodles, Nancy. You're absolutely right. While the lobster is chilling and the champagne is on ice, people waiting at this party, he can literally jump on a boat and get this. His home has a dock. He doesn't even have to go anywhere. That boat can pull up literally in his backyard. He can jump on a yacht, on a boat, under the cover of darkness, under night, and slip away, and we'll never, ever see him again.
Rob Shooter, is it true that you just published an article that there is going to be a Sean Combs Diddy women's shelter for abused and beaten women? I guess he could fill the whole thing up.
Yeah, Nancy. So last night I hit the phones, and thank you for all the support you've been giving my Substack. And so this morning I posted a story. I spoke to three different Diddy insiders last night saying, what's next? What is he going to do? I've reported about the comeback tour potentially with Kanye West. What else does he plan to do? And all my sources told me that he's going to use this moment as a marketing opportunity. He is shameless. This is a chance for him to bounce back. He thinks to be bigger than ever. And I can see him, Nancy, standing outside a Diddy women's shelter, cutting the ribbon, saying that he's a protector of women. He loves women. He's going to flip this narrative. There are no concrete plans for this yet, I point out in the story, but it's just one of the options that Diddy and his team are exploring. How can he bounce back? Not just in music, not just in fashion, but how can he get his reputation back? Normally we see celebrities go to rehab. Remember that, Nancy? They always go off to rehab for a few weeks. I'm told Diddy's not going to do that, but he's going to open up potentially several different shelters for battered women around the country. This is something that is seriously, Nancy, being discussed.
Lynn Shaw, thoughts?
Not going to happen. Never going to happen. He and his team can talk all they want. They can spend millions of dollars on strategies. They can go on every show, which I'm sure he will make his comeback tour, being paid who knows how much
his
money.
His resurrection tour.
I'm not even calling that, because to me, he's dead. So there's no resurrection with this degenerate, okay? It's never going to happen. If we at the Warriors have to get every warrior we know to go out and stop this, we will do it. Because you know what? We know he's, all you have to think about is that Cassie video. I think the judge even, you know, with no bail, is like, no, the Cassie video. In his mind, I'm not a mind reader. He is going to fall. I maintain right now things they may think are looking good. I'm reminding everybody all day yesterday and today, he's still a convicted criminal. He's still sitting in jail. He's an offender. Offenders don't change their stripes. He will come out eventually and he will reoffend or do something worse. He's not going to change. I maintain these shelters they talk about, it's going to be a nice PR stunt. It's not happening. No way in hell under the Warriors' watch. We're not allowing this.
From Armand Wiggins on Instagram. Diddy, no bail. Diddy cries in court like a little baby. Man up, for Pete's sake. You got off on 3 counts. Why are you crying in court? I'll tell you why. Because he and all of his followers were convinced he was going to walk out of the courthouse and to his Star Island party last night. That did not happen. And the judge doesn't seem happy with the arguments the defense has made. Judge, please, please hear the cries of the victims. and sentenced Sean Combs to 10 plus 10 behind bars. Joining me now, Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, former Associate Warden, MDC in Brooklyn, former Senior Warden with the U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, on and on, President New Dealite Foundation, and author of Who Are You? See It, Say It, and Seize It. I don't know how you even have time to appear with us tonight, for Pete's sake, but I'm glad that you have. Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, thank you for being with us. Will Sean Combs stay at the Brooklyn MDC until his sentencing in October?
Yes, Nancy. Much to the dismay of Sean Combs and his family and supporters, he will be at MDC until his sentencing in October, and mainly because, one, he probably needs to be there. But secondly, the government needs time to complete the pre-sentence investigation report, which I understand the defense was trying to waive that so they can hurry up and get to sentencing. And I have a particular, I have a belief why that was done, mainly because they probably don't want to hear the impacts. They don't want to hear the victim impact statements. They don't really want to continue to go over the office and conduct, because, again, it talks about the violence with the judge had mentioned yesterday in the bail hearing, and as well his family history. I think that may be an issue for him as well, because I don't think he wants to really explain his childhood and how he developed the habits that has come to of what we saw in the testimony in his trial. So he will be at MDC, and if he is smart, he'll keep his nose clean, he'll stay quiet, he'll comply with the investigation and hope that some of the mitigating factors will come into play so that the judge won't go with the higher recommendation of 51 to 60 months, which the government argued yesterday, and go with the 21 to 27 months that his defense team argued.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. In a nutshell, Troy Slayton, veteran defense attorney, what is a PSI, pre-sentence investigation report?
It's where a professional probation officer goes out and does a full investigation, talks to the victims, talks to anyone involved in the case, usually. They even talk to the defendant himself. I always say that my client can speak to them, but not about the facts of the case. They could talk about their family history. They could talk about what it is that brought them there, except the facts of the case. I mean, what brought them to that point in their life. Mm-hmm. But it's so that way the judge could have a neutral and independent look at the history of the person. So that way they can make the most fair determination.
I don't want to hear what you're saying. I like the part about hearing what the victims have to say at the PSI, pre-sentence investigation report.
This is our criminal justice system.
Do I need to hear Sean Combs talk about how I got here? Do I need for him to tell the story of his childhood?
Yes, you do, Nancy, because that's part of the process.
Oh, blame mommy and daddy because I'm a sex trafficker? Oh, excuse me, a pimp.
A judge needs to weigh all the mitigating and aggravating factors. That means the things that go in his favor and things that go against him.
Mm-hmm. Sydney Sumner joining me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Isn't it true in court yesterday the defense tried to force a bail hearing yesterday so Combs could get out on bail immediately? And as part of that, they said something about he has to go home and take care of his elderly mother. Was that the one in court in the zebra print outfit?
Absolutely. Green and cream zebra print. They argued that Combs needs to be an exception to mandatory holding for the Mann Act because of his responsibilities as a father and son.
Okay, I'm glad you told me that. To Dr. Sherry Schwartz joining us, renowned forensic psychologist specializing in this, capital mitigation and victim advocacy. You can find her online at panthermitigation.com, on Twitter at trialdoc. She's the author of Criminal Behavior, and I really like this one, Where Law and Psychology Intersect, Issues with Legal Psychology. Not to denigrate the other guests, but saving the best for last, Dr. Sherry Schwartz has to take care of his elderly mom. She's been in court totally decked out like a fashion model walking the runway on Fashion Week every day, not judging. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. But she does not need looking after. And what is this about he needs to be there to take care of his children? Where were his children during all of those freak-offs and all the traveling all around the world so he could evade justice and have freak-offs in other country hotels?
That's exactly right. There are many criminal defendants who need to take care of their elderly or sickly loved ones and their children, and yet they don't get a defense lawyer who stands up in the courtroom and says with a straight face, oh, he needs an exception to the rules that apply to the rest of the mere mortal world because he has money and fame and a life to live. This mitigation that I'm hearing so far is offensive. It offends the senses. And to me, if he wants to donate some of his millions of dollars to domestic violence shelters that exist already, wonderful. That could be good mitigation for him. But to suggest that he should control opening his own domestic violence shelters because he loves women and he cares about what happens to women, this lacks all credibility and it's patently offensive. And it just seems to feed into the narcissistic qualities that have come out about him in this trial.
You said he could spend some of his millions. Try this shoe on. Billions, billions, as in B, as in brother, billions of dollars, Dr. Sherry. You know, we were talking earlier, Dr. Sherry, guys with me, Dr. Sherry Schwartz, forensic psychologist, about how many people, I believe, including the jury, like they did in the O.J. Simpson case, like they did in the Michael Jackson case, are blinded by fame. I mean, Michael Jackson is one of the most talented musicians, frankly, that have lived in our lifetime. Okay? Many people put him right up there with Elvis. But that did not take away from the claims. But the jury saw Jackson for the star that he was. The jury saw Simpson for the star that he was. And a star can be blinding. And I believe that's what happened in this case.
I agree with you, Nancy. There's a sense that we have when there are well-known celebrities that find contact with the criminal justice system and go on trial that we already know them. The same happened with O.J. Simpson. We feel like, oh, we know this person. You know, this is the guy running through the airport with a nice smile on his face, trying to catch his plane for the car rental commercials. So that overshadows, I think, in many ways for a lot of people, the evidence that they're hearing at trial. And in this particular case, it was probably pretty difficult to find people that didn't already have some knowledge of Sean Combs. And what he was famous for and his connection to other celebrities and being a music mogul that probably overshadowed it. But the other thing, Nancy, is that a lot of times jurors, they do see it like your story that you shared earlier about the juror who said this is the best thing that ever happened to her. They see this as an opportunity. Oh, I can sit on this trial as a juror and it can be a money-making opportunity for me or give me some proximity to fame down the road. And that's a problem.
That's a big problem. You're right, Dr. Sherry Schwartz. Dr. Dwayne Hendricks is with us, former associate warden at MDC in Brooklyn. Dr. Hendricks, now that we know exactly what convictions came down on Combs, does that give you a better sense? And they are non-bondable offenses. So I don't know how the defense is going to try to get around that in the next three business days when Combs is back in court. But that said, now that you know the counts on which he was convicted, does that alter your opinion as to which pen, which CI, Correctional Institute, penitentiary, he will live in as his forever home?
Slightly, because in previous episodes we talked about if he was convicted of the higher offenses such as RICO or racketeering or sex trafficking, he would probably end up in a maximum or high security facility. But since he was convicted of the lesser charges, most likely he will end up at a low security facility. Or perhaps, depending on which way the judge goes, if he's sentenced to less than 2.5 years, he may actually end up spending his time at MDC Brooklyn as a work cadre or a trustee within the building. So, but more likely, he'll probably end up at a low security facility within 500 miles of his designated release address. So I don't know if he's going to tell him he wants to release to his Los Angeles home, his Miami home, or New York. And there are several low security institutions in all of those areas within 500 miles. So that's my prediction at this point.
Dr. Hendricks, isn't it true that since Sean Combs beat 3 of the 5 charges, he will now be considered king of the inmates behind bars?
No, he will not be considered a king behind bars.
Yes, he will.
No.
Yes, he will. The other inmates are going to look up to him and celebrate him. He's going to be king of the inmates. He is.
Well, I mean, I respect your opinion, but I just don't see it. I mean, in a sense that they may feel good about him beating the bigger charges, but there's no way a sex offender now, in a sense of, it's not like he's being convicted of sex trafficking, but he still has the sex connotation with the charge. So, two things you don't want to be, I've said this before, two things you don't want to be in a prison setting or jail setting. One is a informant and the other one is a sex offender. And he fits one of those categories. So no, he will not be the king of the institution.
As we wait for justice to unfold and for Sean Combs to be back in a court of law in the next few business days, we stop to remember an American hero, Officer Jared Friddle, Combie PD, just 40, killed in the line of duty, survived by loving wife, now widow, Carrie, and their 5 children, sentenced to life without dad, Lila, Mason, Jackson, Braden, and Allison. American hero, Officer Jared Friddle. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.